Thank you, Ben. Oh, somebody pinched the glass.
I think Christine's about to get a new one.
Oh, praise God. Well, we got to thank you, Christine. The message that God's given me for you tonight and for me came out of frustration. And I had a friend who was really sick, couldn't breathe, and people had prayed for him, and he came up to me because we have a coffee every Monday morning, and he said, you know, why aren't I healed? And I said to him, that's a very good question. And I also, not that many people knew, but I had really bad shins and I couldn't walk really far. I'd go from here to my car and I'd be absolutely in agony, screaming with pain inside. And but I didn't tell many people that one. But at any rate, I went back and I went home and locked myself in my little room. And I said to the Lord, do you still heal? And silly question to ask him, but I was desperate. I was watching my mate like he was, and he was fitter than me. I tell you, that was just absolutely breaking my heart, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, Lord, are you still healing today, or are we blindfolded, or what? And isn't God good when he actually listens to us, hey? Anyway, I really felt to start reading T.L. Osborne and Smith Wigglesworth and the Bible. Yeah. And I said to the Lord, you healed back then, but we don't see it now. What's going on? What's happening? And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this message, and it's been 3 weeks of struggling and wrestling with it. But I'll tell you what, I love this message, and you're going to love it too. And it's called Only Believe. We're going to have a look at what Christ did at Calvary. Now, I said to the Lord when he gave me this, please don't let me feel the pain. I don't want to know any suffering. I don't want to know any pain. I said, I'll die. I said, I just want to know what happened at Calvary. And this is different because I'm different. And it's beautiful. Okay. And what happened at Calvary over 2,000 years ago is yours. Now, I'll tell you something. When I realized, when Jesus showed me that it's already been done, all we've got to do is reach up and take it by faith. It's ours. It's already been done. What you're going to hear tonight has already been done for you. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, it is still done for you. You've just got to walk into it, receive the Lord, and it's all yours. Now, the saddest thing is, while I felt the Lord just gently touch my heart, is a lot of his children do not embrace all of what happened at Calvary. We just step into some. But as I was reading and studying and praying, there's a lot there for us people. This message, I hope and pray, will change your life like it's changing mine. This message tonight is for me as much as for anyone else, because I'm learning from it. Amen? Now, it's all yours. It's been done. It's all yours. Now, I've got three Bible verses here. Psalms 103, verse 1 and 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost beings, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who healed half of my diseases. Oh, sorry. Who forgives half of my sins. Oh, praise God. I was hoping someone would say that. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. Well, that was really weak, wasn't it? The power of God. And John 3:3. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Pastor Uli's been preaching in the mornings that we've got to learn to live up there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? How do we know what that is unless we live up there? Unless we learn to reach into the spiritual realm and live in the spiritual realm as well as the earthly realm. We've got to learn to live in both, you know. And this is what I hope you can see tonight. Right, first of all, the first one we're going to look at is all sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean, the old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to the cross with Jesus. Every sin you have committed and will commit has been forgiven. Now, we all hear that and we go, you know, we sort of go, yeah, it's like an old cliche. But I want to tell you something. I thought, well, what does sin really mean? And I got this. Now, there's one word I struggle to say, but I'll do my best. It implies active ungodliness or wickedness. Two, the most, here's the word, have grace. The most characteristic feature of sin in all its aspect is that it is directed against God. Now, when Jesus went to Calvary, he took every sin that I committed and that you committed even before I became a Christian. Even before I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins were already cleansed the moment I asked Jesus into my heart. The moment I walked and said, Lord, please come into my heart. I love you and I need you, Lord. And that was in 1969. I was about 22, I think, when that happened. Every sin that I committed was wiped clean. I didn't understand it then, but I'll tell you what, if we, like tonight's worship, to me, really rocked this place tonight. It was powerful. But I tell you what, if we realize that we are sinless, that we are as white as snow, that when we walk into this place, we're not carrying sin, we're carrying the blood of Jesus. We're carrying what he has cleansed us from. We should rock this place, man. We should fill this place. We should be rejoicing. You know, I don't know how to explain it, except, man, it would be if we just, as Andrew says, let this marinate in you. You know, we are sinless before God. When I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I get in my lounge and I make a cup of coffee and I start worshiping the Lord, I read my Bible first and I start worshiping the Lord, even if I had a bad day the day before, I'm already forgiven. We don't have to hang our heads in shame. I'm already forgiven. We're already cleansed. It has been done at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. It's been done. We need to hold our head up high. We need to praise the Lord and rejoice because we're not carrying any guilt or shame or condemnation. And when we do sin, like I tell you, when my wife and I had all our little four kids in the car, by the time we either got to church, it was like, boop, or when we got home, it was, boop. Somehow the kids decided to, I'll let mum and dad have it. I don't know whether it's still the same today or not. But, you know, even when I used to come to church, and I'd be so tensed when I walked into church, what God saw wasn't a man who was struggling to keep his control. He saw us and sees you. All of us here tonight who have been born again, God is looking down and he's not seeing Ben with his faults or failings or his chipping up or his missing the mark or anything like that. Sorry, Ben, pick on you. Andrew's not here. You know, he doesn't see that. You know what he sees? His son. And he sees Ben white as snow. There is power. There is wonder-working power. If we could get that into our hearts and walk in that power, walk in that freedom, walk in that liberty, people would, you know, Smith Wigglesworth used to hop into a train and everyone would start crying, I'm a sinner, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And he just, you know why? Because he knew he was forgiven. And he backslid. Smith Wigglesworth backslid. But God still used him mightily because God saw his son. Now, just to finish number one, sometimes it's hard for us to realize, I used to struggle with this, how can God look at me as white as snow, my slate clean, and see his son when I was struggling with alcohol, violence, thieving, all the things that I used to do in the world? How could, I couldn't get it. Because you know what? I couldn't see myself like that. And this is the point I'm trying to make. If we look at ourselves and see ourselves a mess, or we got a bad habit or something like that, we will never see ourselves washed in the blood of the Lamb as white as snow. And when God looks down at you, he doesn't see your sins, your failings. He sees his son. And when I got that revelation, my life changed. My life changed. I don't carry guilt. It's all gone. Over 2,000 years ago, my Lord and Savior washed away all my sins, and I'm free. That's the number one. Number two, we are justified. We who were sinful people have been made acceptable to a holy God. We are saved from the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? It is a holy indignation, God's anger directed at sin. And this is a very quick one. It simply is just as if I'd never sinned. If we can get that into our hearts, people will get saved just by us being there. We wouldn't have to witness to them. The anointing and the power of God would be so strong in our lives, people would just get convicted. This place would be packed. If we got the revelation that we are sinless, that we are just as though I'd never sinned, and we stop looking at ourselves when we do make a mistake and just simply go before God and say, Lord, please forgive me for I have sinned. Thank you that I'm cleansed. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Take responsibility and get on with your walk with the Lord. The moment you go, the moment you start doing that, what have you done? You're giving the devil a foothold. The Bible says, do not, thank you, darling. Do not, that's my great-granddaughter. Do not give the devil a foothold, because he is the one who ruins our life. I had a brother commit suicide. I had another brother get killed in a car accident because he got so drunk. I have seen what the devil can, myself, I have seen what the devil can do to a life if we give him a foothold. Do not give him a foothold. If you miss the mark, quickly keep short accounts with God and get on with it. You are a saint. You are a holy person. Hallelujah. Okay. Number three, we are sanctified. This is the one, I love this one. You've been set free from darkness into his amazing light. Now, this is the one I love. I love this. I love them all, actually. But I remember when I got saved, I was actually drunk. I went to the pub and I got drunk, and I went to a home group and got saved. Pretty good. Anyway, I was standing and the preacher said, put your hand up if you want to ask Jesus into your heart. And I put my hand up, and he come up to me and he smelled all the alcohol. And you could, the tone of his voice went, oh, no, he didn't. But I knew something had happened, and I sobered up just like that. And I had this vision. I want you to catch this, okay? I had this vision, and I've shared it before. I was standing like this, and I had massive chains around my body, and they had cast iron balls on them. And I was standing like this, and I couldn't move. I was in bondage. I was in slavery. And all of a sudden, they wound from my body, turned to my feet, and there was a little mountain of powder. And I heard the verbal voice of the Lord say to me, Barry, call me by my name. Barry, you are free. I didn't understand a thing what he said, but I do now. Now, people, I want you to catch this. When we get sanctified and God takes us out of darkness and brings us into his marvelous light, all that darkness has done to your life, all the drugs, the alcohol, the thieving, the violence, and the gambling, and all that it has done, when God pulls you out of darkness, God has set you free from those things that trapped you back there. The moment I got saved, God set me free from alcohol, from drugs, from thieving, from stealing, and from every other thing that I was doing, violence. He set me free, but I didn't realize it, sadly. But boy, I do now. And I want to encourage you. This is an encouraging message, not a teaching message. It's an encouragement message. The moment you get saved and God brings you in, all that is back there is you are set free. It's done at Calvary. It's done 2,000 years ago or more. You have been set free. If you give your heart to the Lord tonight, you will walk into that freedom and that liberty. You will. Now, the moment I did that, I saw it, but I didn't understand it. But I do now. And I want to encourage you people. You don't have to drag the stuff from the darkness into the light. It's already been dealt with. This is the message, people. It's already what the things that we struggle with, it's already been dealt with 2,000 years ago. It has been done. Done for you. It's done. We don't have to carry those things. We don't have to carry guilt and shame. We don't have to carry all that stuff that we had back in the darkness because Christ set you free. And I mean free. When he says free, he means free. All your sins forgiven. All your diseases healed. All the drugs, the addictions, and the sins, and the habits have all been broken off your body. God set you free back then for you to have now. Do you know something? The power of his blood, the authority of Calvary, the great amazing love that God had at Calvary has not weakened since Jesus did that. It's still the same power today. When I gave my heart to the Lord in 1969, there was no weakness in the Calvary message. It's still as powerful today. If you're sitting here tonight and you're struggling with a habit or addiction or a sin, I'm going to do something tonight at the end of the service. I want you to do something because you're actually free. You've just got to take it. You've just got to take it. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Then when you will, I love this one. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. Now, I used to be a farmer. And I used to walk about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, walk the cows to the cow shed on a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I tell you what, I'd end up on my knees on the driveway, worshipping the Lord. The dogs are going, "You all right, mate?" And I'll be worshipping the Lord. Because the stars, his awesome creation. Now, hear this. Jesus was just saying, and it's in the Bible, by the way, Philippians. I read it in my morning reading today. That we will shine like the stars among the unsaved people. We won't have to go up and say, "Do you know Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus?" Because what we have, if we walk in this freedom, they will come to us and say, "What have you got? I want what you've got." They will. If you walk in what you're hearing tonight, in that liberty and that freedom, you won't have to say a word. Because Jesus said we will shine like the stars in the sky. I didn't say it. It's written in the Philippines. Okay. We are saints. Yes, we are holy. Holy means moral and ethical wholeness from evil, freedom from evil. If we could just, people, I really want you to hear, if you're carrying something and you've been struggling with it and it's been haunting you for years, and you can't let it go. Every time you let it go, it rears its ugly head in you. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I've been in this. God didn't bless me with a lovely walk. He blessed me with a hard a hard walk, but I'm grateful for it because it's made me stronger. You know, tonight I'm going to do something special tonight for us, but you're going to have to reach out. We are righteous. All this happened at Calvary. At Calvary, God transferred Christ's righteousness to us and gave Jesus our unrighteousness. Now, we are righteous people. Now, what does that mean? Holy and upright living in accordance with God's standard. Now, we can't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. But people, you are righteous.
Well, not really, Barry, you know. You don't really know me, do you?
But no, I don't, but God does. And God wants you to hear tonight. And he wants me to hear. We are righteous people. Can I just say this? Let's grab a hold of what Christ did at Calvary, not just a little bit, but wrap our arms around everything that he has done. And I haven't finished yet. Let everything that he has done and make it a lifestyle. Make it become a lifestyle within you that we begin to walk and live what Christ has done at Calvary. Embrace it. Believe it. Take a hold of it. Put it in your heart and let it be a lifestyle. Start living the way that he wants us to live. He didn't do that for nothing. He did it because he loved us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even while I was rolling around in the gutters and the junk, spewing my guts out. Oh, sorry, being sick. He still did it for me. He still did it. While I was popping pills and overdosing, he still did it. While I was thieving somebody's car, poor people, he still did it. While I was, bashing some poor joke up around the alleyway, he still did it. He still did it. And the moment I gave my heart to the Lord, it was there for me. And it's there for you now. All that he'd done, I want to make it a lifestyle for me. I want it to change my life. Because I want to be a role model. She's gone. Oh, I want to be a role model for my great-granddaughter. When I go home to be with the Lord, I want her to carry on. But I want her to know it's already been done. Hallelujah. Is this all right, people? You've been redeemed. Oh, sorry. You've been redeemed. Redeemed means one who frees or delivers another from difficulty, danger, or bondage, and usually by the payment of ransom. That is Christ. He is our powerful Redeemer. I love when Pastor Karina sings, "My Redeemer Lives." People, Jesus bought you. He paid a price for you. My car, that's my car. Or when I pay it off. But it's my car. I bought it and I'm paying it off. But it's mine. We belong to Jesus. We're his. But you know what? He doesn't control us. He's allowed us to keep our free will. And we belong to him. We don't belong to darkness. We don't belong to addictions. We don't belong to habits. We belong to the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our dad. He owns us, but he allows you to have freedom. You know what he did at Calvary? I said to the Lord, "What's behind all Calvary, Lord? I mean, you know, what is behind all this?" And a very soft little gentle voice said to me, "My Father's agape love for you." Not just for me, but for his people. He did it because he wants us to be reconciled back to him. Now, I've never had a dad. I don't know what dads do. I have no idea. But apart from trying to be one myself, it's like, His love is perfect. And then Jesus, why did you do it? Because my agape love for my Father and for you. Behind Calvary is a massive, big love, a free will, a love. God willed to love us. Not emotional or conditional love or unconditional love. It's a will love. He willed to love us. He willed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did it because he loves us. Even when we were sinners, he still loved us because he did it over 2,000 years ago. It's already been done, people. If you're struggling with something, no more after tonight, no more. You've already been set free. You've already been healed, which we're going to come into very shortly. And here's the other beautiful thing. All this happened at Calvary. Christ disarmed the devil. The enemy is not Satan. He has been disarmed. Now, this may sound stupid, but I'm a little bit of a child sometimes. But just imagine Satan's got a gun with two guns and a belt and all that kind of thing. And Jesus came up to him and took the belt off him and threw the guns away. And now he's just got... And he's got nothing. he's full of hot air. He's got nothing. Nothing. We don't have an enemy called Satan. If you think about it, he's been depowered. Our enemy is ourselves. Our greatest enemy is us. Our free will. Not Satan. He's been depowered. Now, if you feel Satan's attacking you, okay, then have a look if you've given him a foothold. I've learned one thing. You don't give him that. Because once you give him a little foothold, you give him the legal right to mess your life up. I visited my brother in prison, and not long after that, he took his own life in Hastings in the middle of town. He was just so messed up. We tried to help him. My other big brother managed to talk to him, and I don't know what happened. But at any rate, I'm ready to go to church one Sunday night, and we got this phone call. Would you please come and identify John? And we did. I can see what Satan did to my life before I became a Christian. Absolutely messed it up. I tried to commit suicide. He doesn't want you to enjoy what Christ has done. And if he can blindfold us from knowing the truth about Calvary, then you're going to live a very sad life. Don't give him a foothold because he will destroy you. I've seen him. I've seen what he's done. And I know what he can do. But you know what? He's not my enemy because I don't give him a foothold. Well, I get upset sometimes and frustrated. Of course I do. But I got a little secret. I run into my bedroom, I lock the door, and that's where I stay until I come right. I stay there. Christ did that at Calvary for you. He took Satan's authority and the demons away so that he couldn't hurt you. Okay? We're coming to a close now. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 5, and by his wounds you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been made whole. You have been healed. It's Matthew 9:22, your faith has healed you. Here's something I want you to grab a hold of. Your name is written in his wounds. Your name is written in his wounds. By his stripes you are healed. When they whipped Jesus, my name was in there to be healed. I'm going to share something with you. A couple of things actually on healing. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I had a really bad breathing problem. And this man was preaching in a hall, and I went up front, and he started praying for me, and I walked away, and he still had his hand like that, but there was no one underneath. I walked off because I couldn't believe. I didn't know how Jesus healed. And I went, oh, I can't understand this. Gone. And praise God, I was only a weak year old Christian. Hey, luckily. And the poor fella's praying, and I'm not even there. Oh, I shouldn't laugh, should I? No. Anyway, I hopped in his truck, and I went home, and I laid on my bed, and I said to Jesus, how do you heal? Do you come up and down, up and down, up and down all the time? I said, gee, you're going to be busy. Now, this is, well, I'm only a kid, eh? And all of a sudden, this fiery figure stood in my doorway, hands, feet, face, but I couldn't see it, but it was fire burning. I thought it was the devil. So I picked up my Bible, and I let him have it. And he was still there, and I thought, whoa. And I said, if you're Jesus, come into my room. And he came into my room, and I reached out my hand, and he touched me, and I was instantly healed. I could breathe. All that pain in my chest was gone. And he went, he didn't walk back out of the room. He didn't do that. He just went, poof, gone. And I thought, wow, he does heal. Back then. And then I got this really bad back, and they were going to weld me, do an operation and make me so I'm sort of stiff and I can't bend down. Somehow, I don't know how they're going to do it. And I went home and said to Lynn, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And Weston Carrier came to Whanganui, and he had a word of knowledge. And I go, hey, Weston, that's me. Luckily, he knew me. And I said, but I don't quite understand what you're saying. Come down, Barry, come down. So I went down, and he prayed for me, and I hit the floor. I didn't feel nothing. I went back, sat on my seat, and I swear somebody put a heater on the seat. I said, whoa, and it was so hot, and I've been healed. My back's good, and yet they were going to weld me somehow, make it so I couldn't bend. But God does heal. And here's the last one. When my legs were sore and I'd asked God, did he heal again? I said to the Lord in my room, this is just a couple of weeks ago, and I said to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for doubting your healing. I said, but I haven't, it's like I've been blindfolded. I'm going to reach out with a little bit of mustard seed. Father, I'm going to claim my healing for my legs now because it is done. You've already done it, Lord, and I'm going to reach out. That's mine. My name is written in your wounds. I am healed. And you know what? The pain left my shins. Now, I was in pain 24/7. You asked my wife back there. I'd be at night groaning in agony. During the day, I was in pain. I'd walk and make a cup of tea for everybody in the morning. I'd come back and hop by my wife and have a drink, and my legs would be absolutely sore. I'd be sort of like walking like this. Horrible. And I tell you what, 3 weeks, I've had no pain. God just took the pain. He does heal. But the thing is, it's there. I realized it's up there for me. All I got to do is take it. I don't need people to come and lay hands on me and pray, which is good because the Bible says lay hands upon the sick. But sometimes God wants us to reach up and take what is ours. That's this message tonight, if you can get it. It's yours. It's yours. It's been done. Just take it. It's yours. And it's real and it's powerful. And that's what God wants us to do. Amen? I'll leave that. So, if you're in the music team and you don't have what I'm going to say, come up and we'll sing that song again. But if you need to do, reach out. I'm not going to pray for anybody tonight. I want you to reach out because it's yours. God did it for you. I want you to take it. So if you don't need to do that, if you could come up now, that'll be nice. And just somebody play that thing very gently for a minute. Unless you need to be down here, then you can stay. Now, I'm going to believe for you to have the honesty and the courage to do this, okay? It's going to take guts and courage and boldness. I'm going to do three things, one, two, and three. If you're all the people on this side, if you need to reach up and ask God to set you free from a sin that's been tormenting you for a long time, it may be anger, it may be rage, I know about those. It may be something else, could be anything, addiction. If you've got addiction and you're struggling to let it go, I want you to come here. No one's going to pray, no one's going to hear a thing. I just want you to come down, and when I say a prayer, I want you to reach up and take it from Calvary. You're sanctified people. You've been brought out of darkness into His light. I want you to take it and let it fall to the ground and walk out of this place free. Never again to be haunted by that thing. And boy, I know what it's like to be haunted. I've come from a wicked, wicked background. I know what it's like to be set free. That's this lot. The lot over here I don't mean you people. I mean, if you need healing, whether it's sinus, migraines, headaches, pain in your body, arthritis, whatever, come down that side and just reach up and grab it because it's yours. No one's going to pray for you. Hello, baby. No one's going to pray for you. You do it. This is yours, to reach up what belongs to you. Jesus done it over 2,000 years ago. It's yours. Don't need to suffer anymore. You don't need to struggle anymore with addictions or habits or sin or bad thoughts or anger or rage or jealousy. Any of those things. Don't need to do it anymore. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you come, this is when I will pray, me and Pastor Ben will pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, come and embrace what everything that Jesus has done for you. Because He loves you. He's not interested in what you've done. Do you know what? He'd rather have a relationship with you than worry about what you've done. I want to share this last thing. We went to Palmerston one day, and we went to this house, and they were drinking and smoking and yeah, 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 rah, rah, rah. And I'd spoken to the Lord for about 2 weeks, and I was in a desert place. And I said to the Lord, I got to get out of here. I'm going mad. So I went for a walk, and it started to rain, and I had no idea where I was because I didn't know Palmerston at the time. And I said to the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, but I've got to go back because I'm guaranteed I'll get myself lost. I know what I'm like. And this is exactly what the Lord said. I'll stop the rain if you keep talking with me. I haven't heard your voice for a long time. And I went, wow, you're the only one that wants to hear my voice. Most people cut me off or will do that, you know, and I'm standing there going, but He said, I haven't heard, and I was walking back, crying my heart out, and people were going, you all right, mate? Yeah, I'm all right. I didn't realize how much Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, how much He wanted to hear our voice. I didn't know that until He said, I haven't heard your voice for a long time. And I just broke down and cried like a baby. That's how much Jesus loves us. I couldn't even love myself. But He loved me. And He loves you more than we will ever understand. And He's done it all at Calvary for you over 2,000 years ago. And it's all yours to take. And if we walk in what Christ did at Calvary, we'd fill this place, people. We'd be like the stars, bright night stars shining in amongst the dark light. Amen. Could we all stand? You ready? Now just have the boldness. Don't think, I wonder what people will think if I come down here. Don't worry about what people will think. It's what Jesus thinks. If you need to come here and get set free, come this way. If you need Jesus as your Savior, come here. And if you need healing, come over there. Amen. Praise God for your honesty and your boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.